Let's take our Bibles together to the book of Proverbs, and we'll see what the Lord wants to teach us tonight. You know, sometimes we go through something in the through the Bible, and God's really trying to, he's always trying to teach all of us, but sometimes he's trying to help certain people, and maybe you don't need help with that. The Word of God is still true. It's still a blessing. And I've received so many words about and communications from our church family just about Sunday night's message. And you know, some people don't have any problem. They understand eschatology, and they've never had an issue with that. But some people they have need of having a lesson on that, and that's really helped a lot of people. I've been surprised how many people have reached out to me, so that really helped. So, and then sometimes, you know, something will go forward in on the from the Word of God, and maybe somebody that will be listening later will really get a help. So you never know who's going to get help. So tonight we're in Proverbs 22. We have got two, besides tonight, we've got one more lesson in the book of or in the chapter of Proverbs 22, and really tonight is about what is your parenting like? And so it's about parents. And immediately when you say that, and that's why I prefaced in saying what I did, there are people in here that you're not a parent. There are some people in here that you're going to be a parent. And you need this. There are some people who's you're a parent and you're still a parent, but maybe your parenting is about over. I'm sort of in that category. I've got maybe half a child left. So anyway, but there's a, and then some of you are grandparents, and maybe some of you don't ever even intend to have any kids. I don't know who I don't know. I don't ask people that. Then maybe you're like Abraham, you get old, and then you'll still have a kid. So, but whatever it is, the Word of God is important, and it's important for this to be taught or to be taught and to be preached, because we have a society where the home is just broken down, and children, it's just sad. It's sad. It really is sad. And so in Proverbs 22, we've been going through this chapter, and we've entitled it, the whole chapter, What Kind of Person Are You? And we looked at verse number one about what is your testimony? What is your personal testimony? What's your name like? What kind of individual do others know you to be or hear of you to be? And then we looked at many verses throughout this chapter and jumped around quite a bit, starting at verse 2, about what is your social status and how that gets into the plan of God for your each person's individual life. And we're all different in what all that meant. And then we talked last time we were together in Proverbs 22, what is your character? What kind of person are you in your character? And went through a lot of traits that are listed in different verses throughout Proverbs chapter 22. But we've skipped just three verses, really, that we've not looked at in this chapter. And two of them will deal with parenting. So what is your parenting like? What kind of parent are you, or do you, or would you be? Proverbs chapter 22 will begin in verse number 6. You know the verse. It's a famous verse in the Bible. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The other verse is verse number 15, where he says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, I want to ask you three questions tonight, and really, even if you're not a parent, This is good for you to think about for your own heart, because you might be able to make a difference in somebody else's life or a child's life that you could minister to. And so my first question is from verse number 6, are you a trainer? What are you training people to do? In verse 6 he said, train up a child. in the way he should go. And the reason that most children do, and there's a promise connected with this, if that child is trained up in the way he should go, when he's old, he will not depart from it. What a wonderful promise that is. And so usually, the majority of the time, a child is a product of their training or their lack of training, and they become what they become because either someone took some time to train that child or someone did not take that time or did not train them well. Now, in training, he says train up a child. He didn't just say train a child. Have you ever noticed how God talks? He doesn't really talk like we talk. And that's what's wrong with people that try to rewrite the Bible. God doesn't talk like we talk. He has much deeper things to say, and he says them in such a way that he communicates a whole lot more truth than what we do when we just make a statement. He said, train up a child. Not just train him, but train him up. You see, what does that mean? That means a lot of people are training them down. You know, you can train a child to not only do the right thing, but you can train a child to do the wrong thing. Children can be trained. Look, if we can train dogs and cats and tigers and children learn too, and they learn by how they're being trained. And let me say this. You can, if somebody's here and you don't have kids yet and you'd like to have kids, but you're afraid to have kids because what a wicked world it is, and I don't know if I want to bring children into the world like that. There's some people like that. But you can bring children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That verse is in the Bible. It can happen. Ephesians 6:4, Proverbs 22:6, these are promises of God. They go beyond a generation. They go farther than society. They go farther than the problems that each world system has wherever people find themselves. The Bible's true no matter what's going on in the world. And we can train up children. We can bring up and raise up a godly next generation. We can do that. It is possible, but it'll take a lot of work. I've had, I can't even count them. I've had probably, I don't know, maybe 6-7 dogs in my life, maybe more, I don't know. And the first few I really got put out with. And then I figured out that I was having such a trouble with my dogs, and they were German Shepherds, they were smart dogs, because I wasn't training them. And if I'd spend some more time with them, they wouldn't be such a handful. And so when I got, I forget which dog it was, I got a dog and I started working with that dog. And that dog became a good dog. I'd raise my hand, he'd sit. But you know what I had to do? I had to work with him. I had to take time for him. I had to go over and over and over again. I'd put that snack. I could stick that snack on the top of his head and he wouldn't get it until I said, okay. But I had to do that 100 times or maybe 500 times. Now, this is a problem with child training. People don't want to put in the time. Yeah. Because I got things to do. I got my own life. And I've told people this. I've told people this before it made them mad. Because they'd come to me and they would have kid after kid after kid. And I finally said, you know, and I don't get in people's business. But I did say this to this one family one time. I said, you know what? If you're not going to take care of the kids you have, don't have any more. If you're not going to, because we don't want to train them.
Right.
Is that not fair?
Right.
We don't want to pay for them.
Right.
If you're going to have them, then parent them. If you're not going to parent them, don't have them. If you're not going to have the time to take with them, then don't have kids. Because it's a lot of work. We can raise a godly generation, but it is an extreme amount of work to train up a child. Now, most of our training, a lot of our training, is not just through our words. A lot of our training is through our example. You know, you can train down a child by showing them a life that they don't need to live, and they copy that life, and then we wonder why that child goes awry when they are just magnifying the weaknesses and the problems that they see in my own life. In other words, I'm training my kids all the time, or you're training children all the time, whether you even talk to them or not. Your own life is training them. What kind of attitude you have, what kind of character you have, how you react, how you respond. They learn from all of that. And that's why he says train them up. Don't train them down. Some people train their children to disobey. My first child, that's sitting right over there, I didn't even know I was doing that. But I was training him to disobey. I didn't have any clue. I was stupid. And the way I was training him to disobey, I would tell him to do something, he wouldn't do it, and I'd tell him to do it again, and then I'd tell him to do it again, and I'd say, I'm going to count to three. Well, you're just training him, you're training the child never to obey you when you tell them to do something. You're training them that they do not have to obey until you get mad. You know what that's called? That's called training a child down, not training a child up. And so somebody put this little book in my hand in 1994 or 95. But I got this little book and I started reading it and I figured out I was training my child to be disobedient instead of training my child to be obedient. And I read all the way through this book. And I learned so much that it's up to me to make sure that my child is trained properly. And you've got to start early. Listen, if you don't start training early, you're going to have a whole lot more work to do. You've got to start early. But some people are not training their child up, they're training their child down. You know, some parents, they don't even know, they're not only not training them to obey, they're training them to disobey, and they don't know it like I was doing. Some parents in church are training their child to leave church. They're training their child how unimportant church is. And they do that in a variety of ways. One of the ways they do that, if anything comes up in life that conflicts with the things of God or the church of God, then it's the church that gets the shaft because we're going to do what we want to do. You know what that trained that child? That child was just trained that Little League is more important than church. And school is more important than church. Now, when he says train up a child, I think children ought to be trained educationally. That's a lot of work too. I think some people are very remiss in not training their children educationally. But there are so many different ways to train your child. And one of the ways you need to train them spiritually. You need to train their spiritual values. Growing up, listen guys, you know what? Growing up, my parents trained me that God was more important than anything. I mean, some of my first memories in my life are in church. I mean, the first thing I can remember in my life is being in church. I remember Joel and I, we loved to play sports. We were in leagues and stuff and in the public and all that. And David said, I tell you what, you're not practicing on Wednesday night. You're not playing, you're going to church. And you know, as a young person, I didn't really appreciate that. I didn't like that. But you know what he was doing? It wasn't just about that ball game and about that service. It was training me that there's something more important than having fun. Because most children are trained that life is about play. That life is about play. And if they don't, if a child is not trained to work hard, and if a child is not trained to love God, and if a child's not trained that the things of God are important and the Bible's important and we love the Lord, if they're not trained in that way, then when they get old enough, it's not going to mean anything. I don't know why my kid doesn't care about God anymore. Because if you train them through your life that it's not a big deal, what do you think is going to happen when they get old enough? They've got to be trained up. It's like people that go home and, man, I'm glad this was never this way. There were probably a lot of problems that happened. My dad was, you know, he was chairman of the deacons and all that and was so involved in the church. And there was so many stuff that he, Joel and I, we never heard any bad thing about church. Amen. Never. Amen. Never heard anything bad thing about the pastor. Never heard bad thing about the youth pastor. You know what? They're training me. They're not training me to gripe. They're not training me to complain. Now, I don't mean to meddle or preach hard tonight. I'm just trying to give a Bible study lesson here. But I'm going to tell you something. We are training our children to have bad attitudes, complaining spirits, angry hearts by the way we are interacting with them. We're training them. And he says, don't do that. You need to train them up. You can do that. Are we training them for failure? Are we training them for success? Are we training them to by example to be like us? Would you want your child to be like you? Are we training them not to be afraid? You know, every child grows up with some kind of fear. You can train that out of them. But it takes work. Are we training them to be weak? Are we training them to be strong? You know, the next generation, children are a powerful tool. They're a powerful instrument. But they're either going to be powerful for good or they're going to be powerful for evil. And it's going to be much dependent on what kind of training they get. Are we training them to be faithful? Are we training them to be adults? Are we training them to be good Christians? Or are we training them to be self-absorbed? Are we training them that their life is all about themselves? And you know, if you cater to your child all the time, or you always side with your child, you are training them that they're always right. And I'm telling you, they're not always right. After the war between the states, Robert E. Lee was, can you say that without going to jail? Yeah. Robert E. Lee, he took the presidency of Washington College in Virginia. And he was a popular, sought-out figure by everybody, really, in the country at the time. And he was walking through one day there, and a lady came up with her baby. She had her little baby, and she went up to Robert E. Lee, and she said, "Would you take my baby? I want you to bless my baby." And Robert E. Lee said this. He said, "Ma'am, you must teach this child to deny himself." That was his blessing. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think that they'll learn that automatically? You have got to train them to deny themselves. You've got to train them that what they want and what they desire has to be kept in check, and it's not the most important thing. And if you always cater to them and give them all they want, and you never rebuke them and you never chasten them, you're not training them up. You're training them down. You are encouraging them to be self-absorbed, and they're not going to be a blessing in your life. And they're not going to have a blessed life. So the earlier we train them, the better. The easier the work will be. If we start early, the more encouraging the results will be. You know, even at church here. Guys, listen. Do you know why we have junior church? We have junior church. We're trying, and we have super church. We want kids to be trained. It's not just because we don't want them in the building. We're trying to go from super church to junior church, so when they get, I don't even know how old it, when they get a certain age, they can sit here and act like you. It is an attempt to train them how they're supposed to act. So hopefully if they can control themselves when Brother Gibson's preaching to them, or Brother Simon's acting crazy, when they get in the church, everything's just the same. That's the, you know why we have Master Club? We don't have Master Club because we don't have what else to do or just get people to come to church. We're trying to train them. They go back there, that they learn how to teach Bible stories. You think somebody's just going to wake up one day and say, oh, I can teach a Bible story. No, that takes training. That takes somebody taking time with them. You know what they do back there? They learn how to write letters to missionaries. It's just part of training. It's not to fill up a space. What we do with our teens. I mean, they're trying to get them to memorize Bible verses. They pray with them. It is all trying to train their hearts to be centered toward and moved toward God. And also they have a good time because, you know what also we want them to train them? That you can be godly and still have a good time. It's not just, fuddy-duddy, I got to read the Bible. By the way, don't punish your kids with godly stuff. They will throw up all over that and grow up thinking, I'm not going to do that. What if growing up, your mom and dad said, all right, if you disobey again, you're going to go to church. Is anybody listening to me? You do that one more time, and we're going to prayer meeting. What do you think that child's attitude is going to be about that? All right, you disobeyed. You got to go read your Bible. Now, I've probably done that. But look, if they think... If they associate reading their Bible with a bad experience, how much do you think their heart is going to be trained to love the Bible? Does anybody in here have a good memory of your nose being in the corner? Did anybody today say, man, I want to go stand in the corner? No, we've got to train them up. We've got to put the things of God with exciting things and wonderful things and blessed things and joyful things because that's what it is. Amen. Train them up. Train up a child. What you do, how you act, every little thing, it's important. Train them for life. Man, kids are growing up now. They don't even know how to live. And instead of stepping back and saying, oh, these sorry millennials and this sorry Z generation, you know what it is? It's sorry parents. We have a generation that failed. And let me say one thing about that. You know, after the war with my youngest child, and we won that war, and then the second child, things got better. All, you know what you're, I watched this. I've watched that child trainers, people that talk about the family a lot, they seem to be experts too early. In other words, when the kids are 8 and 9, they know it all. They think they've figured it out, and they've not seen one teenager leave their house yet. You know what this verse says? It's a good promise here, but look at it. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is what? I wonder what that word means, old. I feel old. What if I just now turned out right? Are you in the Bible with me? I tell you what, I got 3 kids, and 1's 6, and 1's 8, and 1's 2, and look at how well they are. Well, yeah, what about when they get old? See, the verdict's out till they get old. I'm upsetting somebody's theology right here. I'm telling you from the Bible, until they get old, the verdict's out. Sometimes that training doesn't come home to roost until they are old. So I've dismissed with the experts a long time ago. And I tell you what, if you're a parent right now, you ought to go to God and say, God, I don't have the answers. And if my kids turn out right, it'll only be by the grace of God, because I and their mother are so dirty, filthy, rotten, sinful individuals that it's got to be your grace for them to turn out right. Is that a good prayer? Train up a child in the way he should go. Notice the way he should go. The way he should go. Not in the way you want him to go. For a lot of parents, they train their children to go the way they want them to go. Maybe to be a success, maybe for their life to be like theirs, maybe for their kid to do stuff that they never got to do, or be what they could never be, or whatever. A lot of times parents train their kids in a way they want them to go, and a lot of times parents train their kids in the way the child wants to go. But the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. You know the way he should go? God's way. Amen. And whatever God wants your child to do will be the greatest thing in the world for your child. Even if it's not what you planned or not what you wanted, if they'll go God's way, it'll be wonderful. Amen. Train up a child in the way he should go, not the way he would go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, what does that mean, preacher? Does that mean that every child, if we'll do right, they'll all turn out right? No, but pretty much that'll happen. Pretty good if we do a good job training. I mean, the exception will prove the rule. But I believe that every individual has a will. I believe that you could be a perfect parent and your kid still go the way of the world or the way of the devil. You know why? Because they have a will, and God doesn't make them a robot. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's a wonderful promise from the Bible, but it doesn't overrule human will. And I want to look at that last word, because commentators don't talk about this. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from, what's the word? Well, what's it? How you define what that pronoun it means will define what you think about the verse. Does that mean if you train up a child in the way he should go, he will never depart from the way? Do we really believe that? Did God the Father do a good job with Adam and Eve? I believe he did. Or is the word it train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from the training? In other words, is it this? If you really train a child right and train them biblically and train them up, they may choose to go a different direction, but they'll never be able to get away from the mind of the training of what they've been told. It will stick in their brain. It will haunt them to the day they die. You know that about God, don't you? In your own life, don't you sometimes choose to go a different way than God wants you to go? But if you're saved by the grace of God, you can't get out of your brain what God's put in your heart. That's why he's talking about when you get old. Because you go through enough stuff, brother, and you go through enough chastening of God, and you go through enough events, and you remember all that training, you may have gone the wrong way. But you're not going to get away from that training. It might just be when you get old, you say, you know, I think I need to go back to the Father's house. So are you a trainer? Will you spend as much time with a child as you would a trade or a hobby or an animal? Not only are you a trainer, but verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Are you concerned what's in your child's heart? Do you know what's in your child's heart? Foolishness. Isn't that what that says? Just a bunch of foolishness. Now, I'd say this, children, I think children ought to be allowed to be children. They ought to be allowed to be kids. We're not talking about that. But there's something wrong. Listen, there is something wrong in every child's heart. Just like there's something wrong in our hearts. And so here's the question. Am I concerned about my child's behavior, or am I concerned about my child's heart? You see the difference? I want my child's behavior to be right, but I have known parents that were so concerned about their behavior, but they didn't give a flip about what was in their heart. They just wanted the trophy of that behavior to be seen so I don't look bad as a parent. And this book says that every child has foolishness bound in their heart. I don't care how pretty they are. I don't care how they make you laugh. I don't care how special they are. They got a bunch of foolishness all bound up in their heart. Foolishness. Crazy stuff. I'm not talking about just being a kid. I'm talking about foolishness. The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. I'm talking about sinful, foolish stuff in their heart. So are you concerned about what's in their heart? Children have heart problems. But I'll say this, the good part about that, it's easier to fix a child's heart problem than it is to fix an adult's heart problem. Because 9 times out of 10, their hearts are a lot more tender than ours. We're a little set in. Well, what do I do? Well, I only have 3 questions. Are you a trainer? Are you concerned about what's in your child's heart? And then lastly, are you a disciplinarian? Boy, that's a bad word, isn't it? 15. Foolishness is bound the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Are you a disciplinarian? You know, there's something wrong with parents that always wants to be the good guy. You're not training them right. The best friend that child has is a parent that will correct them and corporally correct them. Guys, our society is so upside down. There were lost people that followed the Bible better than people that say they're saved today. And in our culture, and I'm not going to re-preach the message in chapter 13 on the rod. I'm not going to do that. You can get that. But in our culture today, you know, they'll just, not in Alabama yet, but I mean, you'll just, look, there may, you talk about going to jail for your faith. You know what? I believe that verse in Proverbs 22:15 just as much as I believe John 3:16. That's just as much a part of my faith as Romans chapter 10. You know what our culture's doing? They're making this a hate book. But I tell you what the hate is. I tell you what the sad thing is. I tell you what child abuse is. Leaving a child to themselves and letting them grow up like children grow up in our society, that's child abuse. Giving children hormones and changing their body parts, that's going on in America. I was preaching down there in Hansville. I said, isn't it amazing? They used to stand up and say, it's my body. I have a right to my body. If I want to kill the baby in my body, it's my body. Isn't that what they always said? They forgot about my body now with the vaccines, haven't they? It ain't your body now. It's their body. Well, what about the child's body that you killed? We're talking about child abuse and murder in our society. But I tell you what we're going to have. You bring up a society and a culture that doesn't, that's never had the rod applied to them, whether saved or lost, and you're going to have a dangerous society. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about using your hand. I'm talking about a rod. A little thin, flexible rod that'll do nothing but sting. I don't even believe in using belts to discipline children. How about that? I believe in using a rod, a thin, flexible thing that all it does is sting. If you use your hand, it's wrong. If you do it in anger, you're wrong. Never, don't you ever try to discipline a child if you do it in anger. You just forget about it because you're wrong. We're not talking about that. And if you're not willing to give reproof, the rod and reproof. He says in chapter 13, verse 24, I will read that, but I'm not, we've already talked about it. But I believe the Bible. I'll go to jail believing the Bible. Proverbs 13 and verse number 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That's the Bible. In chapter 23, and I know what it's like. I've got a friend, I was in college with him, and he believed everything I believed. And he's in the ministry, and he's in evangelism really now. We roomed together. And he got married really late. And he's got a young kid. I mean, he's in his 50s, and he's got a kid that's like 8. He said, I know what to do. I'm just too tired to do it. But there's a danger with that. Proverbs 23, the Bible says in verse 13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. So, you know what? God knows how to train kids better than we do. So I think we just need to follow his advice. But we are, guys, we're either, listen, we're raising a generation that's either the children in our generation are either being abused or they're being spoiled. I get so sick of all of the abuse that I have to talk to people about. And it's real. You know what? A lot of times, the authorities won't do anything about the real abuse. Some of you guys don't even know. I've got people that they're not even members of our church that have called me about all kind of stuff. There's real abuse out there. And kids are either being abused or they're being spoiled. And both of it ends up in the same disaster. So, we need to do things God's way. So, what is your parenting like? Let's stand.